How many believe this morning that you're an overcomer in Jesus? Amen. Turn with me, if you will, in the book of Ephesians. We're going to go back to the book of Ephesians where Paul is encouraging the church, encouraging you and I, that we are overcomers. Look at your neighbor and say, you are an overcomer. Y'all said that like you half believe it. Come on. Tell them again, you're an overcomer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Melissa. I love that you sit behind us during worship. Because you just spur me on. You're into that worship mode. I love it. We're growing in other ways here at the First Assembly, and I'm very excited to announce to you, as our staff expands, as we grow as a church, we have a young man that I'm so excited about. And Shirley and Ralph, you'll be excited to hear this too, because you've been praying with us and along for us when you first met him. There's a young man by the name of Jordan Klima. He's from Southeastern University. He lives in Orlando, Florida. I met him during my doctoral program with Southeastern, still in that, but he was our graduate assistant in our class. And so I've known him for a couple years, probably a little bit longer than that. He also was around during my master's program at Southeastern. And I've just learned to love this young man, and I see the gift of God on his life and his ministry. And so he just feels compelled to be a part of what we're doing here in Rock Hill. He wants to help us reach Rock Hill. So I'm thankful to announce today that we're going to be bringing Jordan on staff as our discipleship pastor. He's going to be helping in so many ways. I told him, I said, man, once you get here, your portfolio is probably going to grow as we develop and do new things. But he's so excited to come. And so next Sunday will be his first Sunday with us. He's found an apartment, and so he's able to move up from Orlando a little sooner than we were hoping soon. And so it's a lot sooner than we were expecting, and glad that it worked out. So you guys help me welcome Jordan next Sunday, if you will. You're going to fall in love with this young man. And so he comes with a lot of experience in not so much in serving in the church, but serving on campus at Southeastern. And so we're going to have him help us reach Winthrop College as well. He's going to be working with our Chi Alpha ministry, getting that started stronger again. It used to be, I believe years ago, it was a strong ministry here already. And so we're going to get back in there at Winthrop College. How many know that there's kids that need Jesus at Winthrop College? It's a huge mission field, So we have a young man that has a heart for that age group, for college and career, and so he's going to be helping us with that as well. So Jordan, if you're watching, we love you, and we're looking forward to having you next Sunday. Amen. Well, stand with me for the reading of the Word of the Lord. We're going to go to Ephesians again, like I said, and look at what Paul is encouraging us about this morning. How many love Jesus?
Amen.
How many love Jesus? How many are excited about what God's doing in your life?
Amen.
Okay. How many have some challenges in your life?
Yes.
How many have some disappointments in your life?
Yes.
How many love Jesus?
Amen.
How many know that there's nothing impossible for God?
Amen.
Up in the balcony, you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe there's nothing impossible for God?
Amen.
How many have had some challenges lately? How many feel that, you don't have to answer this one, but how many feel like maybe God's disappointed you? Maybe God allowed something in your life that you just said, Lord, that wasn't fair. Why? But how many love Jesus?
Amen.
And how many know that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
Hallelujah.
That's exactly where we're at in life many times. We love the Lord. Lord, you know I love you. You know, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say, I'll go where you want me to go. And I love you. I'm all in. How many are all in?
Amen.
But at the same time, Ralph, we have these challenges in life. And sometimes life isn't fair. Many times it doesn't feel fair. There's things, it's painful. This body ages, it gets older, and there's things that come against this body because it's a physical vehicle. As George Hampton would say and draw that thing on the wall for us, it was a car. We're a vehicle. And this is a temporary moment in life and in the eternity. And so we have challenges. We have a God that we love. We have a God that knows us, that loves us, that gave himself for us. But yet, this life is very real, and life hurts. Amen. So this is where the church was in Ephesus. There's persecution, Roman government, oppression of the church, and people are attacking Christians. They're attacking those of the way, those who followed after Christ and Christ's teaching. And they're coming against the church, and there's persecution, and so much so that many Christians are turning back to their old ways. Matter of fact, some of them are turning to idol worship. They're getting into the Greco-Roman culture of idol worship, and they're going back to their old ways, and they're returning back to their old ways. Don't you hate when someone that once was on fire for Jesus, that trusted in the Lord, don't you just hate that they go back into their old ways? You guys know anybody like that this morning? Somehow they allowed circumstances to get them to a place beyond understanding the scope of what God could do. And instead of being an overcomer, they were overwhelmed by the cares of life. And Paul is reminding the church, he's reminding you and I, that we have a God who not only saves us, but he empowers. Look at your neighbor, say, he empowers you to be an overcomer. Y'all believe that this morning? So hold on tight. We're going for a ride right now. Here we go. I love this scripture. Our theme scripture for this series is in chapter 1, verse 7. It says, in him, say it with me if you will, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the richness of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word today. And I ask God the next few moments that you would make this word a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. God, that we'll hide it in our hearts and we'll pursue you, God, passionately all the days of our life. And Lord, that we'll hide it in our hearts so we won't sin against you, God. For we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
And amen. Give somebody a high five or a fist bump before you're seated. Paul's writing to the community of faith in Ephesus, imploring them to hold on to the faith that they once knew. Don't go back to your old ways. Don't go back into the sinful world that you came out of. Don't go back. Jesus followers are being persecuted, and many are falling away from the church, and they're finding it easier to go back to the way things used to be than to live like this. It's under this oppression. You know, the current climate in America, there's fear and anxiety. There's depression meds are at an historical high. We've just come through this COVID, and we're still not out of the COVID woods as yet. We've got sickness and disease all around us. We've got economic hardship all around us. We have homelessness. We have agendas. We have the LGBTQ plus agenda. We have abortion in the tragedy of abortion in our nation. However, the church, listen to me, the church is still the instrument that God desires and still is using. Hello, to bring hope to a hopeless generation. The church is each one of us, and it's time for us to realize who we are in God, to wake up and realize our role in these end times. I did say we are in these end times. I believe we're in these end times together, and God's looking for the church. It's time for the church to be the people of God, to rise to the occasion, to show others the hope we have in Jesus. It's time for the church to be the church. Hallelujah. It's time for Christians to live what we profess. We are on the winning side. We are the church triumphant, and we are the conquerors. We are the overcomers. And it's time that we live like that. You guys ever played that game, Monopoly? You like that game, Monopoly? How many are really good at it? Be truthful. I've tried different strategies of Monopoly with my kids and my wife. My wife is amazing at that game. She's every time she beats me. Anyway, I've tried different strategies. I tried, you know, at first I'm gonna save all my money. Every time I pass go, I'm gonna collect that $200. If I can get the parking space, I'm gonna get whatever money's in there. And if I get the chance card, it's gonna give me the right amount of money. And I'm gonna hold on to my money. What happens is everybody else buys properties, and so about half the game, I'm like paying out $1,000 for rent. You know, I'm parking there, I'm parking there, and I'm out of money. And I'm the first one out of the game. I've tried the other strategy where I buy everything I land on, right? I'm buying it all up, or I buy all the railroads and I buy all the properties, and then I run out of money, and I don't get paid, and people start landing on my properties. And what happens there is I don't have any money, and they have properties, and then I lose the game again. So sometimes life feels that way. It's like two step forward and two step backwards, or three steps backwards, or we just feel like we can't get ahead. We feel like we can't. And then life feels kind of like a game. It feels like we're in this Monopoly thing. We're trying to get ahead, and we step back. And so Paul is saying to us, is saying to the church, that life doesn't have to be that way. You are overcomers in Christ. And so no matter how many steps you take forward, whatever steps you're taking backward, he's still going to help you move forward in the ways of him and the desires that he has for you. You are overcomers in Christ. I said there's power in the name of Jesus. You believe that? There's power in the name of Jesus. One of the major songs that won the Dove Awards this past week was a friend of ours, C.C. Winans, and she sang the song, There's Power in the Name of Jesus. And I believe it's the season we're going through right now where there's a renewal, that there's hope in Jesus and there's power. When you say the name of Jesus, there's power in that name. Would you say it with me? Jesus.
Jesus.
There's power in the name of Jesus. You guys know what I'm talking about. Things you've been through, difficulties you've been through. You just whisper the name of Jesus and there's something that happens in your heart. See, God's with me. Bradley, he's with me, man. When I say Jesus, I wish I could be like T.D. Jakes. All he says is Jesus and the church goes crazy, man. They're hallelujah and amen. But Paul says that we're risen, and that's what I want to talk with you about today. And you have a pamphlet we gave you on your seat this morning. I'd love for you to just turn that over, and then whatever the Holy Spirit mentions to or speaks to your heart about, write some notes down. But follow along with me about this being risen in Christ. But we celebrate this at Easter time, but it's important for us to remember 24/7, 365 days a year that we are risen in Christ because of his resurrection. We also live. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Because of his resurrection, we have life. We are risen because he lives. I live also. I share in his life. I share in his resurrection. And so I am empowered because of his life in me. I want you to remember, know that this morning. That's what Paul is saying to us in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 15, if you will. I love this. Let's go back a little earlier in verse 11. In him we are also chosen. Everybody say chosen. Having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose and will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And also, you are included. Everybody say included. I want you to underline that or highlight that in your word. Included in Christ. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you became or when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week. That when you're in Jesus, he puts a seal on your heart. He stamps his name on your heart, and he claims you, he reclaims you. And so he also gives you the Holy Spirit, the deposit of the Holy Spirit that guarantees your inheritance, is what Paul is saying. Now, verse 15, he says this, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope, listen to this, to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Did you see what that said there? Great power. Everybody say great power. You have great power for those who believe. You have great power. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. I get goosebumps reading that, guys. There's something that overcomes. Listen, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is anybody getting this yet? It's the same power that Paul's talking about. He exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule, far above all authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Now watch this in verse 22. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now let me break this down a little bit. What he is saying to us, and what I want to remind you of this morning, is that you are risen in Christ, and because you are risen in him, because you know him, he's given you that seal on your heart, he's given you that Holy Spirit, and because you know him, you are risen, and you are empowered to be life-giving. Not only have you received life, but you have the power of God in you to be life-giving to others. Sometimes life knocks us down so hard, and life we're overcome with the cares of life so strong that we feel like we can't give anything more. We feel like we're burnt out. We feel like we're exhausted. We can't move forward. We feel like we're in the stall because we are tired. We're burnt out. We feel like we can't. Y'all remember with me, though, it says in the Bible that when we are weak, He is what? He is strong. When I am weak, He is made strong. When I am not able, He is made strong. And so my prayer for us this morning, this week, and also this morning coming in, I said, Lord, I'm going to preach this word, but I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that You take it and You do the work. I can't do the work. You have to do the work, Lord. I can only be the vehicle that You speak through. But I'm believing that there's power in this room right now in the name of Jesus to help you. If you're that person, you feel burned out, you feel exhausted, you feel, Lord, I just feel like I can't move another step forward. I'm just weary, I'm tired. Listen, there's the Holy Spirit that has given you the power, and Paul is reminding us this morning that you are risen, that you're an overcomer, and that because my life is in You, then you have the same power that raised me from the dead, Jesus is telling us. That's a powerful thought. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that God says to us that I'm infusing in you. I'm ministering in you. I'm putting into you so I can minister to life around those around you. The life-giving power. The same power that God uses to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that we have living in us right now. How awesome is our God? How awesome is our God? The resurrection power, to proclaim that He lives, to say that He lives is that I'm saying because He lives, I also live. Now this life-giving power is a resurrection power. Everybody say resurrection. It's a resurrection power. And so when we say it's resurrection power, we're saying that Jesus lives. Jesus lives. But it's also an exaltation power. It's saying that He lives, but He is also in control of my life. He also reigns and rules forevermore. In other words, we overcome through Jesus Christ because He's the resurrection of my life, but He's also the one who reigns over my life. He's my resurrection. He's also the ruler. He's the author and perfecter of my faith. He is the CEO of my life, if you will, if you want to look at it that way. He is the one who rules and reigns. And so, in other words, no matter how we feel, no matter what we face, listen to me, sin and brokenness and disease is conquered by the name of Jesus. Did you hear me? Brokenness, sin, disease is conquered in the name of Jesus. He reigns and rules forevermore. We have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Sin and brokenness, we have forgiveness. Sin, sickness, and disease, we gain eternity with Him through the life of Jesus, this life-giving power. Because of the resurrection, the exaltation of Christ, Jesus is both my Savior and He's also my sovereign Lord. Because of His resurrection, He's my Savior and He's my ruler. He's my Savior, He's forgiven me of my sins, but He's also the authority over my life. You see, Jesus is my Savior. He's my sanctifier. He's my healer. Come on, if He's done that for you, say hallelujah. And He's my soon coming King. He's my spirit baptizer. I love that He's my soon coming King. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." It says, comfort one another with these words. That comforts me to know that this is not the end game right here. This is just the beginning of what God has for us. So He's my soon coming King. And because He is risen, I can look forward to that. Look at verse 21, if you will. Far above, everybody say far above, all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name is invoked, not only in the present age, but also the one to come. Jesus is exalted far above, and I want you to lean in and listen to this for a moment. He's exalted far above all principalities and powers. Do you hear me? Far above all spiritual and human rulers and intelligence. I'm saying that He is King of all kings. He is Lord of all lords. There is no dominion, no ruler, no power that's greater than our God. There was a conversation I had with someone recently, And you guys are experiencing some of this in the prayer room. You know, this and we understand when we have these kind of outreaches, this Halloween, any kind of outreach we do, even we see it on Sunday mornings when we're having, anytime we lift up the name of Jesus, he said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. But we have an enemy of our soul that hates that. He hates the church. He hates what we're doing with the outreach. And so we have these encounters with people. We have these encounters with things that are happening. But listen, we have authority over those things in the name of Jesus. And we have seen great things take place in those prayer times. But I had a young woman who we were talking to and praying with, and she said she loved Jesus. She knew the Lord, and she went to church and all this, and that was part of her life. But she was so you could just see it on her, so downcast and so overcome with the cares of life. And she even felt like there was like demonic oppression in her home. And she just felt like the weight of the world was on her shoulders. And I just looked at her and I said, you don't realize who you are in Jesus if you're claiming that he is your Lord. You don't realize who he is in you. Listen, you don't have to put up with the enemy. You can get up in the morning and say, get thee behind me, Satan. You walk on him and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. You don't have to put up with what the enemy throws at you. Did you know that? You get up in the morning and you say, good morning, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. The enemy has no place in my life. Matter of fact, you're praying for a loved one, you're praying for a child, a prodigal son, you're praying for a loved one, you can just begin to plead the blood of Jesus over them. We say, we take authority in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood, I speak salvation, I speak healing, and I speak the name of Jesus over that life. You have the power and the authority to pray that way. You don't have to be beat up by the devil. You don't have to live that way. Say, devil, throw whatever you want to throw at me, but I serve a God who is the ruler of all things. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. And I don't have to put up with that junk in the name of Jesus. And you say, get thee behind me, Satan. And so I told this woman this. And I said, listen, you don't have to live that way. You're talking about these voices you're hearing in your house or this oppression that you're feeling. Listen, just put some praise music on and just begin to worship him in the midst of that. Amen. Begin to worship him and lift up the name of Jesus, because lightness and darkness can't survive in the same place. You turn a light on in a dark room and everything's bright all of a sudden. That's the same way it is when we lift up the name of Jesus in a situation that we're going through, a difficulty we're going through. You say, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why you allowed this in my life, but I'm going to speak the name of Jesus right now. I'm going to turn the light on and the power of God in this place, because you said, Lord, in your resurrection, I have power. In your resurrection, you are exalted in my life and you reign and rule over my life. And I don't have to put up with this stuff. I don't have to deal with this overcoming, this depression or anxiety. I cast it out in the name of Jesus. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And I exalt your holy name. You know what happens when you do that? The Holy Spirit comes into that place. He comes into your mind. He comes into your heart. He comes into that room and that environment. And all of a sudden, he's exalted. And your focus is more on him than on your problem. Your focus is on his life in you. And we give it to him. We trust him with it. We trust him with it. Amen? And we say, Lord, it's your authority. It's your rulership. Does anybody hear me this morning? Come on, somebody. Say amen. It's his authority. It's his rulership. And so, Lord, I submit these things unto you. I can't carry them any longer. Guys, we've lived long enough to experience some difficulties in our lives, and we know what it feels like, the cares of this life, the disappointments that we come across. You feel like the rug's been pulled out from under you. You feel like people that you loved and trusted turned their back on you, or they said things that were hurtful to you. We've lived those things with you, and we know what you're going through. But listen, we serve a God who is greater than all those things. Philippians 2, 6 through 11 says that, who being in the very natural God did not consider equality with God something to be used of his own advantage. Listen to this. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. In that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue in heaven and in earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I love that. It's probably one of my favorite scriptures. One of the favorite songs that we used to sing is that every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, there's no power, there's no ruler, there's no earthly king that the Lord has to bow to, but all will bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't have to succumb to the enemy's schemes. Look at verse 22. And God placed, everybody say all things under his feet, the feet of Christ, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Child of God, you are risen. And because you are risen, you are empowered. Look at your neighbor and say, you're empowered. One more time. You're empowered. Go ahead and tell them, you're empowered. You're empowered. Secondly, because of you being empowered, I love what he begins to tell us in chapter 2, the first part of this. Read with me, if you will, in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following his desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath. I love the but word right here in verse 4. But, everybody say but. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Give him praise for that this morning. Made us alive in Christ. I thank the Lord for what he's done in my life. Because he lives, I also live. He's made us alive in Christ. Last Sunday, we had such a wonderful celebration. We were able to water baptize 11 people right out front of the church here. Wasn't that a glorious time, you guys, that were here with us and able to be a part of that? And we captured it on video. I want to show that real quick, if you will. Just watch the monitor, if you will, for a minute. Thanks for that. Hallelujah. I thought I was going to go over with Barry there for a minute. We both went down together. So because he is risen in me, I am made alive in Christ. I am resurrected in him. And that's what water baptism is all about, is saying, Lord, we are raised to life as you are. We are raised to life in you. And that's what Paul is saying. You are made alive in Christ. I'm so thankful that we can claim that today. I'm made alive, verse 5, with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It is by grace that you are saved. It is by the act of Christ, the crucifixion, the resurrection, all of that is that you are infused with the power of resurrection life. So no matter how you feel this morning, no matter what life has brought you this way in this season of your life, you serve a risen Savior and you are empowered by that same life-giving blood, the blood of Christ, the love of God, the forgiveness of sins, the healings of our lives. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. It's like, God, you forgot about me. I had these hopes and these dreams and these things I want to accomplish for you. Listen, if you're following the Lord and you've put your hand in his hand, God's going to help you to do everything he put in your heart to do for him. I promise you that. Things that you dream to do for God, it may not look the way that you want it to look, and it may not be the season you want it to be, but if you give it to God, and he's put that in your heart, and he's given you that vision and that desire, you're going to be able to live that out. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of saying, Lord, I'm just going to work in the season you have for me. I'm going to commit my life to you. I'm going to follow out the plan you have for me. It says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So what Paul's saying next to us is right here in verse 10. I'll follow with me, if you will, in chapter 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Everybody say faith. And this is not from yourselves. He says it's the gift of God, not by a work, so that no man can boast. In verse 10 he says this, we are God's handiwork. I love that. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You're God's handiwork. One of the first scriptures we had our kids learn is Psalm 139:14. It says that I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. He knows me and he's created me that way, fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's handiwork. Matter of fact, if you're watching online, listen, you need to be reminded today that you are the apple of God's eye. He sees you and he knows you. He created you. And he's wanting that life-giving part of who he is to be poured into your life. He desires that. And he's saying, be reminded today that you are God's handiwork and that he wants to fill you with that life-giving life that he has for us. Our prayer focus for today is listen to me, those in the room this morning, those watching online. There are people in this room right now that know Jesus. You know Jesus. You've served him passionately. You're following after him. You've served in the church. You've been faithful. You've given your tithe. You've given your time. You've worked. You've done all that you can do. There's people that are watching online. There's people serving in the church right now. You've loved your neighbor as yourself. And some of you are nodding your head because you feel like you fit that. Yet you might feel exhausted. You might feel burned out. You might feel a little weary. And my encouragement to you today, and this is what Paul is reminding us of today, and he's reminding his church today, is that when we find ourselves burned out, tired of it all, ready to throw in the towel. Has anybody ever felt that way before? I know what that feels like, and I've been there many times in my life as well. When we feel that way, though, the problem most of us experience is not with God's inability to see our challenges. Even though we wonder where God's at, we say, Lord, don't you know what I'm going through? You guys remind us, remember the disciples in the boat, they were fishermen, and Jesus was sleeping in the boat, and they said, don't you care that we drown? Don't you care that we die? Maybe you felt that way before. God, don't you care that I'm dying here? I'm drowning here. Throw me a bone or something, God. Do something here. Sometimes life feels that way. But the problem most of us experience is not with God's inability to see us and know our challenges, because the Word says that he never leaves us. The Word says we have a Jesus, a Lord, who ever intercedes for us, that never sleeps nor slumbers. Aren't you thankful for that? He's seated by the right hand of God, and he always intercedes. He always prays. He's always watching over us. The problem is not with God's availability of knowing who we are. It's not the problem of availability or his resources. It's not the problem. The problem actually aligns more with our grabbing hold of and applying God's provisions to our lives. See, the Word is, aren't you thankful for the Word? Guys, get into the Word. I'm praying that you read your Word every morning. Remember, no Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. Get the Word in you. Front to back, Genesis to Revelation, God speaks to us through His Word. This is a complete Word. It's an infallible, it's an uncorruptible Word. It's the Word of God. It's the tool, the vehicle that He uses to speak into our lives. And so when we read the Bible, we read the character of God, we realize, you know what? My problem of me being burnt out, me being wore out, me being exhausted, me being tired, is not because of God's provisions. They're there, right? We can open up any scripture and see God's provisions. If you learn a little bit about God and listen and watch His character, you know His character is not where He can't give me what I need. His character shows me that He can be all in all. He can be everything that I need. He's complete. So it's not God's inability to be able to meet where I'm at in my life. The problem actually aligns more with us grabbing hold of and applying God's provisions to myself in my life. Let me give you this. Any power shortage on our part, listen to me, is not a lack of divine provision. Any power shortage on our part is not a lack of divine provision. And also, any deficit on our part cannot be attributed for a lack of His resources. Our God is all-sufficient. Our God is all-knowing. Our God has all the resources. Our God has enough love for you this morning. Our God has enough healing power for your situation. How big is your God? Our God is able. You really believe that? That God's able? Pastor, I don't know that He really sees my situation. Maybe He does, but maybe I'm just so far away. I don't sense what He's... Listen, all you have to do is just come to Him honestly, humbly, and say, Lord, here I am. I'm broken before You. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm just at a place where I just feel like I can't even feel anymore. And Lord, are You able to take that? Are You able to do something with that? Help me get beyond this. It's not His inability. It's not His lack of concern or care for you. Not when the Bible tells me you're the apple of His eye. It's more in our ability to grab a hold of that and realize what the truth of that is. And I want to remind you today, as your pastor and as your friend, as Pastor Paul reminded us in his word just now, you have the same resurrection power of Jesus living in you. There is no lack in that. Matter of fact, the word tells me in Psalm 23 that He is the good shepherd and there is no lack in Him. There's no lack in the Lord if you know Him. I don't know who you are as far as where you're at in this, but I believe there's several in the room this morning. You say, Pastor Steve, I've loved the Lord a long time. Maybe you've been raised in this church. You serve the Lord passionately. God sees that. He knows that. But you're at a place right now where you just feel, and I just feel like I'm done. I feel like I just can't feel. I just even go one more time to do one more time. I just feel like I'm just at my rope's end. I'm greatly concerned if that's you, and I'm greatly grieved by that. But I'm also excited on the other end to know that there is a God loves you far beyond that you're sensing right now. And there is power in the name of Jesus to bring you through that. Can I pray with you? Every head bowed and every eye closed. See, Pastor Steve, that's me. I love the Lord passionately. I'll do what He wants me to do. I'll do whatever He wants me to do. And I love Him with all my heart. He knows that. And I love this church, but I feel like I'm at a place, at a stall. And I need the life-giving presence of God to come into my situation. I need that in my life. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but I want you just to let me know who you are so I can be praying for you. You see, Pastor Steve, I want you to remember me today because I'm at a place where I just need God to do something in my heart. I just feel like I'm tired, I'm weary, and I need His strength today. Slip up your hand and back down. Anybody in here this morning? Pray for me. Pray for me. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. He loves you so much. I'm not done. God's not done with me yet, but I'm in a place right now that it's bigger than I just can't figure it out. It's like I'm clueless. I don't know what to do next. I'm in this stall. Yes, sir. Thank you. Anybody else up in the balcony? Pray for me, Pastor. Anybody else on the main floor? Those watching online?